House Committee on Judiciary, full committee hearing, Friday, March 29, 1991, 1 p.m., hearing room 357, work session.
Call the House Judiciary Committee, full committee to order. Today on our agenda, work session, House Bills 2586, 2027, 2125, 2733, 2018, Senate Bill 371, House Bill 2200, House Bill 2623, House Bill 2594, 2662, Senate Bill 395, House Bill 3167, House Bill 3299, and also a work session, House Bill 2493. Let me just advise the committee, Representative Baum and I are due, perhaps in rules at any moment, simply for a short vote. They need a quorum as well, so we apologize that he and I are both a bit tardy, and they didn't.
Mr. Chair.
He and I and Representative Walden were the only three there, so as soon as they muster up like three or four others, we may be departing briefly. With that, let me just counsel on 2493. The very last item on our agenda.
Mm-hmm.
Can we just go ahead and dispose of that at this time?
Yes.
All right. Would you describe the intention?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2493 would prohibit the use of tobacco on school property. There is a similar bill currently in front of the Education Committee, and they have requested that this bill be referred to them so that they can hear both at the same time.
Thank you.
They very graciously did an exchange with us, and so we want to be fair. Since they gave us four, we'll give them one.
That's who could be more fair than the Judiciary Committee?
Is that based on relative competence or
value?
Did I hear a motion on House Bill 2493 to refer to the Education Committee?
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Representative Bryan. Moves we refer House Bill 2493 to the Committee on or the Education Committee. Is there a discussion? Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Now return to the regular schedule. Open a work session, House Bill 2586. Council?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2586 recognizes that many, if not most, crimes are committed by alcohol and drug-dependent people. The bill tries to stop crime by making treatment programs mandatory for all criminals who need them. The bill authorizes evaluating all criminals for substance abuse problems and then, subject to the availability of funds, requires treating all those found to be alcohol and drug-dependent. When this bill was in front of the subcommittee, it had a rather substantial fiscal impact, and that is the statement that's in your materials. Despite the efforts of the subcommittee to reduce the fiscal impact, although we don't have a new fiscal impact yet, it is our understanding that there is still a significant impact, and in addition, it would be necessary to move the Dash 1 amendments.
Thank you, Council.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Clark.
So the fiscal impact statement is has been superseded?
Mr. Chair, Representative Clark, the fiscal impact statement that you have in your materials was the impact statement before the subcommittee. Since the adoption of the amendments,
okay,
a new fiscal impact statement has not yet been prepared, but one is in the works.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Mannix.
Based on that, I move House Bill 2586 to the floor with a due pass recommendation, as amended.
Dash 1 amendment.
Oh, you have technical amendments to add to it? Sorry. Mr. Chairman, I withdraw that motion.
Thank you, Representative Mannix. Maybe a little discussion before we, having understanding your intention of reps. Representative Bauman, I heard you gasp.
I gasped. The reason I gasped is because I want to make sure that we're careful with the record of how we're operating with regard to our fiscal responsibility as a committee, even though we're not the fiscally responsible committee. Is it because
Well, that I just to be clear, that's Ways and Means. Is it because we have this up for a work session and we don't have a fiscal impact statement yet that we don't need to consider moving this to Ways and Means?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Manning.
No, it's because we took out a requirement in the law and simply authorized it. So if the courts find that they've got the resources and they think it's a good situation, they can do it. But the other bill mandated it in every circumstance, the original bill. The bill as amended simply says the court may do so, which the court does not necessarily have the authority to do. Because it simply authorizes this approach, it can be applied with discretion by the courts, and they can look to their current resources and see if they can afford it. If they can't afford it ever, they don't ever do it, so there'd be zero impact.
Representative Maddox, if I understand what you're saying, and counsel, correct me if I'm wrong, then this would be in the nature of out of existing funds.
That's right.
Okay. Further questions or comments about that?
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Maddox.
I would now move the Dash 1 amendments to House Bill 2586.
Representative Maddox moves the Dash 1 amendments to House Bill 2586. Discussion, further discussion on the Dash 1 amendments. Objection to the Dash 1 amendments. They are adopted.
Mr. Chairman?
Or Representative Maddox.
All right. I move the House Bill 2586 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Maddox moves House Bill 2586 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Further discussion? Bowman, any further discussion?
Well, my only other discussion is, and again, it's a general policy discussion. It's not related necessarily to the policy of this bill.
Okay.
It's related to. I realize this is not a mandate. It's a recommendation. I know that we haven't heard from counties or from. Anybody who works in the justice system in here to complain that they have more money than they know what to do with, and they'd really appreciate something else in the form of a recommendation from us. And I guess the question is whether the court needs our authorization to do this.
Counsel? Can we treat that as a technical question
and
ask for your response to that? Do the courts have the authority to order this now?
Mr. Chair, Representative Bowman, as a term of probation, yes.
All right.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Bryan.
But not sentence. I mean, sentence other than probation, incarceration, for example.
Now, Mr. Chair, Representative Bryan, that's my understanding, yes.
Okay. Representative Maddox or
but I,
other
Mr.
counsel,
Chairman.
do you have a comment on
Mr.
that?
Mr. Chair, Representative Bryan, answer your question. If once the person's incarcerated, then the authority to order the person into treatment shifts to the Department of Corrections. That's no longer in the judge's hands. So I think the clarification is the authority is currently available if the person is on probation because the court at that point has got the authority. Once the person is in custody, and is put within the custody of the Department of Corrections, then it's up to the Department of Corrections to determine whether or not they should be ordered into treatment.
Then let me go back to my policy comments, because this really is right in line with where my concerns are about our policies. So what this means is that we are giving a judge authority to order treatment of convicted criminals who or evaluation and subsequent treatment, if there's money available. I'm wondering if we're giving judges then the power to allocate money which we would otherwise either be allocating through the Ways and Means process or which otherwise would be allocated by the drug treatment program who will under the provisions of this bill, be ordered to create a slot for someone who's been convicted of a crime. The issue is not with the substance of whether we should be treating drug-dependent criminals. The issue is with the decision-making process and the allocation of scarce resources throughout the system. And I don't know if what we're doing here is, I think what we're doing here is creating a new policy of allocation of resources.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Maddox?
We need to be clear about what we're doing here. I agree with you on that. And I'll tell you what I see this bill as doing. I see this bill as putting right in front of the judge this option, first of all, to make sure that the judge is fully aware that this is an option, and that there's no question in terms of statutory policy that this option is legal and appropriate and can be imposed where appropriate and where the finances are available. And it does, in many senses, encourage the judge to look at this option and see if the financing would be available. But again, it limits the option to the extent the financing is available. And secondly, I would rather mandate this, but the money isn't there, but it sets up a program and a procedure that we can allow to happen on a voluntary basis. It may only be used a few times, but we'll be able to see how well that is working. And then at some point, if fiscal resources are there, we might decide to mandate it. But we have to recognize that drugs and alcohol are one of the primary components of crime. And if we don't ever get, we talk a lot about rehabilitation and we talk about the root causes of crime. And if we aren't willing to put a mechanism in place where judges are at least looking at that concept and saying, this is something I'm going to consider, and if I haven't got the resources, well, let's start, put a tote board up and note how many times the judge would have done it but couldn't do it for future reference. And that's what the intention is here, without spending extra money that we don't have right now.
So it would be
Representative Bauman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Probably what we're going to do with this is collect data on how insufficient our response mechanism is to treat alcohol and drug dependency in this population. Would that be your hypothesis?
Yes, right? But not totally. Just as, for instance, we have reports right now about certain kinds of crimes against people because of their socioeconomic status or whatever, that is helping us get a better handle on things. But there is other legislation that's pending this session, one of which is a bill that will increase the beer and wine tax to allow for drug and alcohol rehab programs. If that goes through, there may be money available for judges to exercise that option. And I want it clear that they ought to be looking at that option if we can get that kind of a tax through. Thank you.
Further discussion? Mr. Representative Clark.
So I'd like to say to the subcommittee that I appreciate the amendment. I think it is responsible and recognizes the reality out there. I have no problem with giving the courts the authority to do this. My only concern would be the expense of it, and I like the idea of let's take it one step at a time and give them the authority to do it right now, and if we can find money, other money, other than their existing funds right now, at some future date, then that's good. But I appreciate the sensitivity of the subcommittee to the fiscal reality.
Thank you, Representative Clark. Is there a motion on the Dash 1 amendments?
Motion to the floor right now.
Moved amendments already.
Amendments have been moved, and the bill's on it.
Bill the motion is final discussion on the bill.
I guess there's no fiscal.
Any further discussion?
Yeah, Mr. Chair.
Representative Edmondson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. At the risk of confusing the committee, I am going to be unpredictable and vote for this bill.
Good. Now, got that on video.
Is that in response to any special pressure from any lobbyists?
No, I still haven't talked to anybody.
Representative Edmondson. That simply just may bind you today.
Just on this bill and just today, because I
not
never
necessarily
know
doesn't necessarily vote. Determine your support on the floor.
I change the wind. I always check
you.
The wind before I vote.
I was there yesterday, Representative Edmondson. All right, to further discussion, House Bill 2586.
Oh, I did have that $10 to pay you for the fine.
Further discussion, House Bill 2586. If not, the clerk will call the roll on House Bill 2586.
Representative Baum.
Yes.
Representative Bauman?
Aye.
Representative Bell?
Aye.
Representative Bryan?
Aye.
Representative Clark?
Aye.
Representative Edmondson?
Aye.
Representative Johnson?
Aye.
Representative Mannix?
Aye.
Representative Mason?
Aye.
Representative Parks?
Aye.
Representative Sinceri?
Aye.
Chair Miller?
Votes aye. House Bill 2586 passed the floor. Representative Bauman?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Close the work session. House Bill 2586. Open a work session on House Bill 2027. Council,
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, this is one of the final civil forfeiture bills. Under the civil forfeiture law, a property owner can recover seized property by proving that the owner did not know about any drug activity on the property when the owner bought the property. This presents two problem situations. First, it prevents owners from getting seized property back when they tried to stop drug activity that they knew about when they bought the property. This bill would protect those owners who tried but failed to stop the drug activity. And second, a property owner can get seized property back even though the owner later learned about the drug activity and didn't try to stop it. This bill requires property owners to take some reasonable action to stop known drug activity before they can claim to be innocent owners and get their seized property back. The subcommittee also expanded the right of claimants to obtain attorney fees. Under current law, you can get attorney fees only if the property was not reasonably subject to, not reasonable suspicion to believe that the property was subject to foreclosure. This allows claimants to recover attorney fees in any case in which they prevail. The Dash 1 amendments in this form have not been before the committee, so they need to adopt them as a technical amendment.
Technical? Thank you. Is there a discussion or a proposed amendment on the...
Mr. Chair, I move the Dash 1 amendments.
Thank you, Representative Clark. Representative Clark moves the amendments entitled Dash 1 amendments to House Bill 2027. Discussion of the amendments? Is there objection to the amendments? Hearing none, they are adopted. Further motion on the bill is amended. Representative Clark moves House Bill 2027 as amended to the floor with due pass recommendation. Further discussion? Hearing none. Clerk will call the roll.
Representative Baum?
Yes.
Representative Bowman?
Aye.
Representative Bell?
Aye.
Representative Bryan?
Aye.
Representative Clark?
Aye.
Representative Edmondson?
Aye.
Representative Johnson?
Aye.
Representative Mannix?
Aye.
Representative Mason?
Aye.
Representative Parks?
Aye.
Representative Seri?
Aye.
Chair Miller?
Votes aye. House Bill 2027 is passed to the floor. Representative Edmondson, carry the bill, please. Thank you. Close the work session. House Bill 2027. Open a work session. House Bill 2125. Council.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2125 brought to you from Real Estate Agency in the wake of the recent failure of two escrow companies in which people who had given money to those companies were not paid. This bill expands the ability of Real Estate Agency to regulate the escrow industry. It requires escrow applicants to provide information about their criminal backgrounds before they can become licensed. It increases large escrow companies' bonding requirements and authorizes the appointment of a receiver to manage or liquidate the escrow company. One of the principal issues in the subcommittee was whether there ought to be a sliding scale for bonding requirements so that the smaller companies were not burdened, and that concept was accepted and is in the Dash 2 amendments that need to be adopted by the committee.
Thank you, Council.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Bryan.
I move the Dash 2 amendments.
Representative Bryan moves the amendments, the Dash 2 amendments to House Bill 2125. Is there a discussion of the amendments?
Oh, it's a blank space.
Blank space.
I'm sorry. Council.
Mr. Chair. Members of the committee, the blank space in the amendments is supposed to be there. When the issue was brought up in subcommittee, you had instructed me to fill in whatever language appeared to be appropriate in that circumstance. No language appears to be appropriate because that blank space appears in a form, and the number will change depending upon the money that's held by the various escrow companies.
Never mind.
Well, he gave us some rope, and he hung himself. Or he hung you.
Representative Bryan.
Mr. Chairman, just for the record, to ask counsel to...
Former counsel.
Former counsel. Holly, could you help us out with this? Whether the $200,000 cap was restored by Dash 2.
Mr. Chair, Representative Bryan, that's correct.
Thank you.
Thank you for that rehabilitation. Further discussion on the Dash 2 amendments? Is there objection to the adoption of the Dash 2 amendments? Hearing none, they are adopted. Further motion on the bill, Representative Bryan?
Yes, Mr. Chair. Move 2125 as amended to the floor due pass.
Thank you. Representative Bryan moves. House Bill 2125 is amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Further discussion? Hearing none. The clerk will call the roll.
Representative Baum?
Yes.
Representative Bauman?
Aye.
Representative Bell?
Aye.
Representative Bryan?
Aye.
Representative Clark?
Aye.
Representative Edmondson?
Aye.
Representative Johnson?
Aye.
Representative Mannix?
Aye.
Representative Mason?
Aye.
Representative Parks?
Aye.
Representative Sinceri?
Aye.
Chair Miller?
Votes aye. House Bill 2125 is passed to the floor. Representative Bulldog Bryan, will you carry that bill, please?
My pleasure, Mr.
Thank
Chairman.
You. Close the work session, House Bill 2125. Open the work session, House Bill 2733.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2733, when it came to the subcommittee, would have repealed the sunset on the civil forfeiture law. The subcommittee decided that it would be best to see how the civil forfeiture law worked for a few more years before repealing the sunset, particularly because of the number of amendments that the committee has made to that law during this session. Therefore, this bill extends the December 31, 1993 sunset for 2 years to the end of 1995.
Thank you, counsel. Is there a discussion? House Bill 2733. Representative Bauman.
Sorry, I just must be missing the amendment that changes the date, because all that I have in my information is that it repeals the 1993 sunset. Is there a dash one amendment?
Council.
Mr. Chair, Representative Bauman, there were dash one amendments that the subcommittee adopted, and that may be why they're not included in your packet of materials. It wouldn't require action by the full committee.
They would?
Not.
Would not. Right.
It's just such a significant change from the brief summary.
Thank you. Further discussion?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Mason.
Is this the last forfeiture bill we'll see?
No.
Oh.
We're close.
We're close. Okay.
Very close. Yes, Council Klamath.
Mr. Chair, Representative Mason, there will be two before the civil subcommittee on Monday.
Please be sure and attend. Further discussion, House Bill 2733 as amended. Motion. Representative Mannix.
I move.
Representative Edmondson moves House Bill 2733 as amended to the floor. Due pass recommendation.
That's right.
Thank you. Further discussion. Hearing none. Clerk will call the roll.
Representative Baum?
Yes.
Representative Bauman?
Aye.
Representative Bell?
Aye.
Representative Bryan?
Aye.
Representative Clark?
Aye.
Representative Edmondson?
Aye.
Representative Johnson?
Aye.
Representative Mannix?
Aye.
Representative Mason?
Aye.
Representative Parks?
Aye.
Representative Sinceri?
Aye.
Chair Miller?
Votes aye. House Bill 2733 is passed to the floor. This is another potential teamwork deal between Representative Van Loon and Representative Edmondson.
Got a string going.
We'll have you. We'll ask her to carry the bill. Have you back up, or what?
Well,
you want to take this?
We can tag team it again.
You take this.
I'll take it.
All right, Representative Edmondson. Close the work session, House Bill 2733. Open the work session, House Bill 2018. Council.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2018 adds to the crime of assault in the third degree, which is a Class C felony, by adding an element that a person can be aided by another person when causing injury. This was brought to the committee in enhancing the charge from an assault 4, which is a misdemeanor, to an assault 3 for a felony for the purpose of doing gang assaults. And I should also point out that this concept of making a crime more serious when committed by multiple persons currently exists in the robbery statutes and in Oregon's intimidation statutes, so it's consistent with Oregon law and policy to do it in assault cases as well.
Thank you, counsel. Discussion, House Bill
Chairman.
2018. Representative Mannix.
I move the dash one amendments to House Bill 2018.
Representative Mannix moves the amendments, the dash one amendments, House Bill 2018. Is there a discussion of the amendments? Is there objection to the adoption of the amendments? Hearing none, they are adopted. Is there further discussion? Representative Mannix.
I move House Bill 2018 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you. Representative Mannix moves House Bill 2018 as amended to the floor, due pass recommendation. Further discussion, Representative Bauman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I agree that we can establish any kind of policy on this committee that we want. We're not limited by history or what's already in the criminal code, but I appreciate that counsel addressed that point because it seems to me that when I was prosecuting assaults, the degree of assault was always based upon the injury and not based upon any factors of the assailant. You know, I agree. We're always looking at the condition the victim was in. In District Court Roe, where I was assigned for my 3-year stint with the Multnomah County DA's office, we saw a good many assault fours, and many of them were pretty awful. It's a personal crime. But they were assault fours because of the degree of injury to the victim.
That's probably true.
I guess I'm wondering if this is what we really want to do here. If we want to elevate an assault, a situation where the injury would indicate an assault four, or the type of weapon used in the assault would indicate an assault four, to an assault three based upon the situation of the assailant.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Mannix.
In response to that, I have to respectfully disagree that I think there are many more instances where we do look at the identity of the perpetrator. We elevate the offense if you use a weapon. And if you beat someone with your fists as opposed to beating them with a lead pipe, we start moving up the category of the crime based on how you did it. We take a look at the age of the perpetrator in terms of some of our sex offenses and say that if the perpetrator was more than 3 years older than the victim, that we enhance the penalty. In this case, and in bank robberies and in intimidation statutes, we again look to the fact that people are getting together to commit these crimes, and we enhance the penalty. Particularly in terms of intimidation, I carry that over there in the sense that someone can be more intimidated by more than one person. Here, someone can be more assaulted by more than one person. And yes, it does move us in the direction of recognizing gang-related assaults. I'm more frightened when two people come at me than when one comes at me, and I think this recognizes that social factor.
Further discussion? Hearing none. Clerk will call the roll. House Bill 2018 as amended. Further discussion?
Just a discussion of the fiscal impact statement. I'm sorry, I missed the subcommittee. And I guess the issue here is that we need to be prepared to open up space, I suppose, in prison for the people that we're going to be incarcerating underneath the statute, and open up the availability of additional costs to the indigent defense account. Was that discussed by the subcommittee?
Mr. Chairman?
We have it right here.
Representative Mannix.
I don't think there will be any difference in terms of the defense costs because in either event, it's a crime. We're just elevating the cost of the crime factor. There may be an expense factor in terms of jail space, but what happens is this gets plugged into the matrix, and one of the beauties of sentencing guidelines is it allows a reevaluation of the available space in terms of the number of people coming into the system and the level of their offenses. And yes, this may readjust someone's demerit points in terms of how long certain people will be in the prison system. It will not build any more prison beds, so it doesn't have any direct fiscal impact. All of these, every time we regrade a crime into a higher level crime, we may be pushing someone else out of that jail bed, and we have to be aware of that in terms of a social judgment. But it's not an actual expenditure of additional money.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Johnson.
I don't know if this word's been said yet, but the primary intent behind this bill was a four-letter word named gang, And the testimony in favor of the bill was mostly directed at that. The primary person was a person from the Assistant Attorney General's office who's been prosecuting gang offenses, and she sees this as necessary to give another tool to get at this grouping effect that is prevalent in the gang activity.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Mason.
Representative Mannix has done a marvelous job of arguing for the bill and convincing me almost against it, in the sense that he pointed out that if we push here on this, on assault 2, something else is going to drop off. Well, whenever I hear of something else dropping out, I kind of like to know what is going to drop out. At least we get an awful lot of these assaults. Actually, the prison bed impact statement, I believe, was 47 people. So if 47 people go in, I'd like to know what 47 people are coming out. And then I have a technical question for either of the council whoever handled this. For Council Robinson, would this Class C felony come under the misdemeanor treatment provisions for most Class C felonies? You can downgrade, ask the court to downgrade to misdemeanor.
In terms of subsequent sentencing?
Yes.
Every C felony.
I thought, is that every C felony?
My understanding.
Old substances. let me also suggest that there are a lot of ways that we could first, I think, deal with the financing that do not require additional taxes. First of all, I think it is fair to say that this fiscal impact statement is, as many have been, really far greater than reality would dictate this statement should have been.
Mr. Chairman.
Just for example, Mr. Chairman, in terms of, or Mr. Vice Chairman, old habits.
they die hard.
The, I don't want us to, and I probably shouldn't engage in this, but I have a little bill. Repeal the political tax credit, $5 million impact on the Treasury. Now, I would be glad to redirect that to this program instead of paying for brochures.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Bell.
I just wanted to mention to the committee about a term that I learned about when I visited the hospital in my community, and that's the term million-dollar babies. We are now starting to see million-dollar babies, drug-addicted babies that require lots and lots of treatment. And if we can prevent enough of those, I mean, it wouldn't take very many to, put the money back back into the coffers. So I agree with the philosophy that in the long run, if our perspective is far-reaching, we're going to be saving money if we get tough and try to put a stop to the use.
Thank you, Representative Bell. Representative Clark.
I just can't resist asking my good friend Representative Baum if the New America, if he's going to invite us over to the Letterbuck Cafe, if that's where the New America is to be found, and whether we can all get an invitation to come over there sometime in October.
Representative Mannix.
Find the New America.
Comment. Representative Mannix, just on the fiscal impact. I think it's important to look at each bill and look at the fiscal impact statement. I believe in fiscal impact statements, but I also believe in evaluating them. And my vote, whether or not to send something to Ways and Means, is based on one standard. Are we dealing with some ethereal comment about potential expense, or are we dealing with a more realistic evaluation where we can probably see dollars being spent? When I see a realistic evaluation where there's probably a substantial amount of money being spent in the short run, I agree to send it to Ways and Means, not to kill it, but so that they can deal with the fiscal impact. I've criticized some of these ethereal fiscal impacts that are just shots in the dark, and when I see that, I'm not going to vote to send something to Ways and Means. Here, the dollars may be high, but the figure is somewhat realistic in the sense I think real money will be spent. Thank you,
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Max. Representative Johnson.
I call for the question.
Is there someone else who wanted to do?
I wanted. He beat me to it.
That's what I was going to do.
Okay, I just don't want to. I certainly don't want to deprive members of their opportunity to speak on this or any other bill.
Mr. Chair, maybe
call for House Bill 2623, do pass recommendation referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. Clerk, call the roll.
Representative Baum?
Yeah.
Representative Bauman?
No.
Representative Bell?
Yes.
Representative Bryan?
Aye.
Representative Clark?
Aye.
Representative Edmondson?
No.
Representative Johnson?
Aye.
Representative Mannix?
Aye.
Representative Mason?
No.
Representative Parks?
Aye.
Representative Sinceri?
Aye.
Chair Miller?
Votes aye. House Bill 2623 is referred to the Committee on Ways and Means, due pass recommendation. Close the work session, House Bill 2623. Open a work session, House Bill 2594. Council.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, there is a no-fault federal fund from which patients injured by vaccines can get up to $250,000 in compensation. If the claimant does not like the award, he or she can go to state court and sue the vaccine manufacturer, the doctor who administered the vaccine. This bill recognizes that oftentimes doctors, the folks who administer the vaccines, can't tell whether the...
They don't care.
Thank you, Council.
They don't care. Historic bill. Greg has done a great job. And everybody wants
day two. You need day two.
Appreciate the people who stayed for this.
Mr. Chair.
Council, had you concluded your remarks?
Mr. Chair, if you'd like.
I was just inquiring. People had stopped walking out. I thought maybe that you'd stop. Go ahead, Council.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The bottom line to this bill is that it makes the state court claim against a doctor the same as under the federal law, so at least with respect to the doctor, there's no incentive to reject the award under the federal program. You're still able to sue the manufacturer of the vaccine under this case. The Dash 2 amendments do need to be moved at this time.
Thank you, Council.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Edmondson.
Move the Dash 2 amendments.
Thank you. Representative Edmondson moves the amendments, the Dash 2 amendments to House Bill 2594. Is there a discussion of the amendments? Is there objection to their adoption? Hearing none, they are adopted. Further motion on the bill?
Mr. Chair, I move the bill.
Mr. Chair.
Oh, wait. Excuse me. I'll
Honorable Vice Chair, Professor Mason.
Is there any way we can get the lobbyists from the OMA up here just for a few minutes to ask for this bill? I just want to, because I'm going to vote for it, but I just wanted to ask for it.
Do you want Mr.
Okay.
Williamson
that's
here?
That's
I mean,
okay.
The two of them could appear together again.
That's okay.
No.
This was just to embarrass and humiliate you.
Shoot the dog.
Further props requested?
Now,
yes, Representative Edmondson.
Moves
House Bill 2594 as amended to the full committee to the floor. Yeah. But they do pass recommendation. Recommendation. Further
That's
discussion.
Right, Mr. Chair. Well put.
Hearing none. Clerk will call the roll.
This one's for
Representative
the
Bauman?
Aye.
Representative Bell?
Aye.
Representative Bryan?
Aye.
Representative Clark?
Aye.
Representative Edmondson?
Aye.
Representative Johnson?
Aye.
Representative Mannix?
Aye.
Representative Mason?
Aye.
Representative Parks?
Aye.
Representative Sinceri?
Aye.
Representative Baum?
Aye.
Chair Miller?
Votes aye. House Bill 2594 is passed to the floor. Representative Edmondson, carry the bill, please. Thank you. Close work session, House Bill 2594. Open a work session on House Bill 2662. Council?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2662 makes a family abuse restraining order from another state effective in Oregon as soon as the person protected by the order arrives in the state. There's currently a gap under laws that exist today because a person may need the protection of a restraining order before an out-of-state order becomes effective upon registration in Oregon or before the courts here open to obtain a new order. There is an indeterminate fiscal impact statement with this bill, and the Dash 2 amendments would need to be moved at this time.
Thank you, Council. Discussion on House Bill 2662.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Mannix.
I move the Dash 2 amendments to House Bill 2662.
Thank you. Representative Mannix moves the amendments, the Dash 2 amendments to House Bill 2662. Is there discussion? Is there objection to their adoption? Hearing none, they are adopted. Representative Mannix.
I move House Bill 2662 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Mannix moves House Bill 2662 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Further discussion? Hearing none. Clerk will call the roll.
Representative Bauman.
Aye.
Representative Bell.
Aye.
Representative Bryan?
Aye.
Representative Clark?
Aye.
Representative Edmondson?
Aye.
Representative Johnson?
Aye. aye.
Representative Mannix?
Aye.
Representative Mason?
Aye.
Representative Parks?
Aye.
Representative Shinseri.
Aye.
Representative Baum.
Both aye.
Chair Miller.
Aye. House Bill 2662
with a beard.
Is passed to the floor. Representative Mannix, care of the bill. Thank you. Close the work session. House Bill 2662. Open the work session.
Mr. Chair.
On. Are you before the work? Sure, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to commend Representative Mannix on House Bill 2662. As far as I can tell, that's an idea right out of his head, and it was a very, very good bill.
I'd like to join Representative Clark in appreciating Representative Mannix.
Well, I'd like to appreciate Mr. Representative.
Sorry I said anything, Mr. Chair.
All right. No.
I appreciate Representative Clark's comments.
It's a very good Friday. Open the work session. Senate Bill 395. Council.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, this is essentially a housekeeping bill from the State Court Administrator's Office. It modernizes statutes about judgments by replacing obsolete language with current terms and also brings some circuit and district court forms into use into small claims court to make it easier for the clerks there to calculate judgments.
Thank you, Council.
Mr. Chairman.
Discussion, House Bill 390, Senate Bill 395. Representative Bryan.
I'd move Senate Bill 395A engrossed to the floor to pass.
395.
Got the wrong folder.
Sorry, you can't vote on it.
Want time to study it, the Representative Shinseri. No. Representative Bryan moves Senate Bill 395 and gross to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Further discussion? Hearing none. Clerk will call the roll. Senate Bill 395.
Representative Baum?
Yes.
Representative Bauman?
Yes.
Representative Bell?
Yes.
Representative Bryan?
Aye.
Representative Clark?
Aye.
Representative Edmondson?
Yes.
Representative Johnson? Representative Mannix?
Aye.
Representative Mason?
Aye.
Representative Parks?
Aye.
Representative Shinseri?
Aye.
Chair Miller?
Votes aye. Senate Bill 395 is passed to the floor. I'll take that one. Close the work session. Senate Bill 395. Open the work session on House Bill 3167.
No.
Representative.
Allow Representative Johnson to vote. Yeah, I mean to vote on.
Senate Bill 395.
Can we get a buzzer installed outside like we have on the House floor?
Hearing none. Representative Johnson, how do you vote on Senate Bill 395? It's 11-0 now, but don't let that influence your decision.
I'll join the successful majority and vote aye.
Board Representative Johnson and I vote.
Thank you.
We are in a work session. House Bill 3167, Council.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 3167 also deals with the Assault 3 statute, which is a Class C felony, and adds that the reckless assault of persons in charge of public transportation vehicles, if physical injury would cause, would be a new crime of and a Class C felony.
Thank you, Council.
Mr.
The,
Chairman?
Dash 3s
need to be adopted.
Thank you. Representative Mannix.
I move the Dash 3 amendments.
Dash 3 amendments, House Bill 3167. Is there discussion of the amendments? Is there objection? Hearing none, they are adopted. Representative Mannix?
I move the bill as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Mannix moves House Bill 3167 as amended to the floor, due pass recommendation. Further discussion? Representative Bell?
Is there any way we can change the summary to adequately describe the bill? The summary indicates that the bus driver is beating people up.
indicates?
Summary?
Says by the person in control of the vehicle. So it would indicate that we're talking about the bus driver inflicting someone with, you know, violence.
Mr. Chairman,
thank you.
As part of that motion, I'd request council to contact legislative council, since there's going to have to be an engrossed version anyway, to correct the summary to make the grammar better.
Appreciate that observation. Representative, or further discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Johnson.
For those who didn't have the benefit of being here at the subcommittee on these, I guess we had a couple different hearings on it. My reason for voting no on the bill is I just don't think it's wise to get started down the road of making special categories of protected people all over the place. After this, it'll be bus drivers, and then we'll have school teachers, and next thing you know, there won't be anybody except some minor class that... Oh, legislators? Have we got legislators in there somewhere? Anyway, If this bill had been restricted solely to assaulting a person while he or she was driving a moving bus, so that if that person was caused to go out of control and kill somebody, then I could have gone with it. But since essentially if you can walk up to some bus driver if he's on the bus or anywhere near it, pretty much, and slug him, then they're protected, I don't think that's a good way to go.
Thank you, Representative Johnson. Further discussion? Representative Mannix?
Just a quick comment. Bus drivers are also out there in the middle of the night alone, and they need some additional protection. Thank you.
And as I heard this the other day on the radio, as a matter of fact, that buses are block homes. They may require some additional security, perhaps, some consideration.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Bryan?
I guess perhaps for the benefit of the members not on that subcommittee, there was also discussion that in addition to the dangers encountered when being assaulted when driving, if the bus operator gets up from his seat and walks to the back of the bus to try to quiet or evict a someone who's not appropriate to be on the bus and is then assaulted in close quarters, it could cause a lot of problems, and that's why the majority of the committee felt that in addition to actually operating the bus, being on the bus or controlling the bus was also a good idea to include.
Further comment? Judge Parks.
If what Representative Bryan said is true, I'd vote for this bill.
The fact
of the matter is that we specifically included being around the bus or on the mall or in any other location, and it just created a special class of people, of which they are out there late at night, and so are thousands of other people. I think it's bad public policy to just segregate a class of people for protection without reference to some special function that they're performing that makes them unique. That's why I'm voting against.
Thank you, Judge Parks. Further comments? Bulldog Brian.
Just for the record, the law does say in control or operating, and wandering around in the mall wouldn't quite, I don't think, stand up on that. Just by veracity.
Further,
sorry, you didn't mean to.
Further defense? Hearing none, the clerk will call a roll on motion to send House Bill 3167 to the floor as amended. Do pass.
Representative Bauman?
Aye.
Representative Bell?
Aye.
Representative Bryan?
Aye.
Representative Clark?
Aye.
Representative Edmondson?
Aye.
Representative Johnson?
No.
Representative Mannix?
Aye.
Representative Mason?
Aye.
Representative Parks?
No.
Representative Sinceri?
Aye.
Chair Miller?
Votes aye. House Bill 3167 is passed to the floor. Representative Bauman?
Do you like that?
Thank you. Close the work session. House Bill 3167. Open a work session on House Bill 3299. Council?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the 65th Legislative Assembly established procedures for execution of search warrants which allow for the installation of what are known as mobile tracking devices. And the bill, as it was signed by the governor, limited it to crimes that were dangerous to life or felony drug offenses. The case that caused this bill to be introduced, State versus Campbell, actually involved a burglary, and this bill would expand the ability to get a warrant to felony property crimes, felony burglaries, and auto thefts, because the need is as great in those kind of offenses as in felony drug offenses. The bill as it came to the Dash 1 amendments do need to be adopted. The bill as it came to us would have expanded this ability to obtain a warrant to all felonies, and the committee limited it specifically to property crimes and those where there seemed to be a need for this kind of tracking device. Representative Clark has a question. Two of the examples that we got that I will share.
So does Representative Edmondson.
Was that if you're having a problem with warehouse thefts, for example, loss of property out of commercial businesses, you can attach one of these devices to property in a warehouse, and once it was activated, once property was stolen, you could track where the property was going, the stolen property. The second one, and I think the witness has indicated this was as serious an issue, is that individuals can purchase tracking devices similar to this, and if the car is stolen and the individual turns it on and does not get a warrant from the police, then the information that is obtained through tracking it subsequent to it being stolen is not admissible. And so, because the law limits it currently to drug offenses and crimes involving dangerousness to life. And so because of those kinds of examples, the bill was brought to the committee.
Mr. Chair. Representative Clark.
I don't know how counsel knew I had a question. She's very perceptive, I suppose. But I do. Under current law, can you only use a tracking device on a vehicle?
No, under current law, you could use this type of tracking device for a vehicle if the underlying crime was an alleged drug offense or kidnapping, murder, alleged kidnapping, murder, or crimes that were considered dangerous to life.
Okay, but my question is, the tracking device under current law goes on what under current law? Goes on a vehicle?
Currently a vehicle, but my understanding is you can put them on other things. They're like magnets. As I understand them, and I don't know who's here to answer this better than I, probably. They're little boxes.
I think
current law,
Brian is.
They can be affixed to a vehicle or an identifiable residence under the current law.
Under current law, but not to movable personal property other than a vehicle.
That's correct.
That's correct.
So the bill would not only expand the crimes for which you can use a mobile tracking device, but would also expand the kinds of property to which you could attach the device.
That's correct.
Representative Clark, are you?
My question is answered. I'm concerned about the bill. But.
Thank you. Representative Edmondson?
Council, is Dashwood amendments been moved? Or they still have to be moved?
No, they still need to be moved, I believe.
Okay, just as it's written now, as it was proposed, it would appear that about to commit a felony, or conspiracy to commit a felony, I thought that conspiracy to commit a felony is itself a felony, which would be included in the existing language. That's sort of redundant there, but if we're going to the -1 amendments, I see deletes line 23 to 26.
Right. If Mike could help, I don't know if this would be helpful.
Representative Bauman?
But I also had a problem with the bill as drafted. And we're keeping the language particular felony, and we're keeping the laundry list that's in current law, Representative Edmondson, and we're adding to the laundry list theft one, burglary, or UUMV.
Correct.
Is that correct?
That's correct.
Does that? I hope that helps. I'm interested. I'm listening to the discussion today, but.
Well, I think, with the -1 amendments, I think it clears up any concern that I would have with the bill being difficult to understand. So I appreciate that.
Representative Mannix?
Mr. Chairman, I consider the current law to be pablum. I think with the -1 amendments, we're adding a little sugar and cinnamon to the pablum. And that's an improvement, I suppose. But I'll be blunt. I don't like the amendments that strip away. I like the idea of allowing this for any felony or a conspiracy to commit a felony, and I'll go along with the compromise because it's an improvement. But we have to look at the rest of this law. This requires that you go to a judge and get a warrant. It is the warrant which is the essence of the Fourth Amendment and the protection of persons from illegal search and seizure. It's the neutral, detached magistrate who's going to have to evaluate the circumstances. Nowhere are we authorizing here warrantless mobile tracking devices. The warrant requirement must be met in all instances. And with that protection, I'd be willing to do the original bill. But I recognize political reality, and I'll go for the amended version. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Edmondson. I don't believe we've moved the -1s yet. Representative Edmondson moves the amendments, the -1 amendments, House Bill 3299. Further discussion? Hearing none. Is there objection to the amendment? Hearing none, they are adopted. Is there further motion on the bill as amended? Representative Edmondson moves House Bill 3299 as amended to the floor. They do pass recommendation. Further discussion? Hearing none, the clerk will call the roll.
Representative Bauman?
Aye.
Representative Bell?
Aye.
Representative Bryan?
Aye.
Representative Clark?
No.
Representative Edmondson?
Aye.
Representative Johnson?
Aye.
Representative Mannix?
Aye.
Representative Mason?
Aye.
Representative Parks?
Aye.
Representative Cinceri?
Aye.
Chair Miller?
Votes aye. House Bill 3299 is passed to the floor. Representative Bauman? Okay. Thank you. We'll carry the bill. Close the work session. House Bill 3299. Council, anything further before the full committee?
Mr. Chair, did you designate a carrier for 3167?
No, but I will. Shortly.
I would appreciate that. Okay.
Anything further before the committee?
Mr. Chair.
Let me just, Representative Clark.
The Family Justice Subcommittee will start at 5 after 3, and we do have a lengthy agenda, so I'd ask members to come right back at 5 after 3.
All right, and I just want to add my thanks to the members for another good week of work and also for the continued high plane of discussion on issues that sometimes divide us policy-wise, but appreciate the level of discussion we had today. With that, the full committee is adjourned.